Welcome back to the Board Gamer Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about games that we are looking forward to see in 2024. Let's go. So sometimes circumstances don't allow us to always meet, but we are super committed to bringing great content to you guys. Whether you're a new gamer or an experienced gamer, we want to make sure that we're providing good content every week. I'm here with Matt and Jake again. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
All good. Yeah. All good. I'm excited because we're back on.
Doing good, man. It's been a busy week for Board Gamer. Lots of engagement on the post this week, so social media has been a busy week, but yeah, doing good.
Yeah, it has been good. I think we've really pushed to try and get some more engagement and conversation with people, haven't we? So it's really been good, like the support, I think. And I think some people got some good suggestions.
Yeah, I think since doing Board Gamer, like, especially the community, they're so engaged in getting back to us. That's like the first thing I've noted. Like, this is all our first foray into going into like what the board gaming community, like we've got our own little niche ones in our own areas, but in terms of like getting ourselves out there, it's nice to see that we get the love back.
And I think the YouTube and the podcast itself, we've just been talking about it, about how lots of people have been watching it and supporting it already, and it's done some good conversations my side. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I've numerous people I've been talking to in person, and they've really been enjoying it. They've really liked the content. I've had some great suggestions from people as well about content they'd like to see. So I'm really excited to see how the board gamer community respond to some of the updates and some of the changes that they'll be seeing in the upcoming months with Board Gamer.
Yeah, be pretty cool, actually. So as we said, this episode is all about games that we're looking forward to this year. I think we did the 2023 Rewind, where we talked about games last year, and I thought it'd be really important to start talking about games that we're really looking forward to seeing. I think at the end we can talk about maybe games that aren't coming out, but, you know, different things that we'd like to see in board game, right? Maybe like some more mechanics that we like to see, or IP, like IPs or whatever. So yeah, it'll be good to discuss that. We have had some comments in, because I think on our last episode we asked our wider audience to start suggesting some games that they like to see this year. So I've got a couple. I've nailed it down to a couple of people that have sent some really cool games. I can't wait to share them, so that'd be cool. To kick us off, maybe Jake, you can go first. What a game that you're looking forward to this year?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a game I saw on GameFound, which is a crowd-supporting website, earlier this year. In fact, I think I started seeing it right at the start of its campaign last year, and the game is Singularity.exe by Octothorpe Games. I know we're in talks with Octothorpe, so hopefully we should be able to get a little bit of an interview with them in the upcoming months, which will be really exciting for the board gaming community to be able to hear from the creators themselves. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how it comes out. I've been following it right from the early start. It's essentially a card game that is not random. So it's a deterministic card game, and that's their main thing that they're advertising. So I'm really excited to see how they do that. I'm really, it's piqued my interest. I want to see how it works. I've backed it. I want to see it, and I'm really looking forward to it. The artwork looks fantastic. They've really done a great job. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it should be later on at the end of the year, if not the start of next year. I'm really looking forward to it. So that's a game I've definitely got my eye on.
Sounds good. I think we've all looked at it when you told us about it. So, yeah, it looks really cool. I think there's a need for a good card game, like two-player card game.
What's the mechanics on this one? How does it
work? It's really interesting. I watched a playthrough, and it essentially, if I've got it right, it's on the idea of you build a pre-built deck. The idea is you have different main characters, and I'm probably oversimplifying it. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. But you have your own different main characters, you have different abilities and different tools, and you can switch them in and out, represented by cards. And essentially, you're trying to, I think, beat the opponent's characters so that they're knocked out of the game. I think that's essentially an oversimplification of the idea, but it's very interesting how you build your deck. You stack it in a certain way, you rig it in a certain way, there's no shuffling, it's planned. So if you can remember where certain things are, you're allowed to look at your decks at certain points to think, okay, he's done this. I might want to use this. Where is it again? It's at this point in the deck. And you can start to plan ahead for when certain things are going to be drawn. Very, very interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how it works. It's not something I've seen. It just looks very fresh. I think that's what's piqued my interest.
What's the theme?
The theme is really cool. The theme is all about cyberpunk. And the idea is that people have now gone beyond their physical realm and ability, and all the characters are hooked online and whatnot. So everything has got this super cool, super futuristic cyberpunk theme. All these different characters, all these different crazy concepts, crazy artwork, and it just looks mental and it looks really cool. And I've always been drawn to these TCG games where you can kind of build your own deck, you know, but I've never been able to really dive into it. Often a lot of these things have gone on for, you know, many years, and by the time you come around to it, the scene is so swamped, it's a bit overwhelming to get involved. You think of some of the things like Magic the Gathering or Netrunner or some of these other ones where people pre-build decks. And I love that idea. I remember when I was a kid, I used to play a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon, and I love that idea of being able to build your own deck and then try it out. So I kind of love that idea, and the way they've kind of done it is there's multiple different boxes you can back, and depending on the boxes, you can just get more and more different pre-built decks, and they have a bit of customization with them, but they're essentially kind of pre-built for you. So I'm looking forward to that. It's like they've taken it, but they're not going crazy with it like some of these massive TCGs. So I'm loving this idea of it being a flavor of that idea, but in a more simplistic setting. So I'm really excited to see how does it work. It's a theme I love. It's fresh. And I love that it's kind of paying a bit of homage to these TCG games of the past without going too crazy and trying to become their own whole one.
Sounds good. I'm interested to play. Me and Tim yesterday had a go at the Star Wars Unlimited game. And yeah, from what you're saying, I know you said that it's like, you don't know like all the rules and everything, but it kind of reminded me of that, what you're saying. And I quite like that cyberpunk theme. So yeah, I'm interested.
I was just thinking, it's interesting that Matt said that, because I was thinking the same thing. And we were having this discussion yesterday, because you've got TCGs and then you've got these board game card games. We were talking about Marvel Champions and Arkham Horror card game or something like that. They're like kind of board game card games, but they're not quite the TCG side. But yeah, we've played a few card games recently. It's been quite good, actually.
You know what, actually? How does... Because I probably should check with you before on this one, but have you played the deck builder? Star Wars, the deck building game as well?
I haven't had a chance to try that.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you find the deck building game compared to the Unlimited game? Was there any noticeable differences? I'm just thinking in terms of what we're saying, like these board game card games compared to the TCG ones.
Yeah, I think I don't quote me on this. I only played the deck building game once. I've only played that Unlimited a couple of times. But what I would say is that they have got different styles. It's a very similar game. You're attacking a base and that sort of thing. You're playing cards. It's a very similar sort of process. But in the deck building one, you can buy cards into your deck through the game, because it's a deck builder, a bit like Dominion. You're kind of, while you're still playing, you're buying to build your deck up to play. Yeah. As the TCG is, like Jake was saying, like a pre-built, you take, is it 50 or 60 cards? It's shuffled in, and then, yeah, and you just play, you just draw cards, and you're just hoping you're going to draw the right card.
This is what I'm really fascinated by, because I think there's something inherently, you know, most of us when we were kids, we loved cards. Like, I remember going to like the corner shop on the way home from school and just hoping that I could buy a pack and see what I got. And I think we love it, you know, whether it was football cards or whether it was Pokemon or something. I think we're drawn to it in a way. So I think you mentioned Dominion, and I think that was a really good shout to mention Dominion, because I haven't seen a game topple the king of games, which is Dominion when it comes to card games. I think Dominion does deck building best out of everything. I've never seen something really take it off that top spot yet. So whenever something like Star Wars Unlimited, Star Wars the deck building, now is Singularity, I'm always curious to see how are they gonna fare up to what Dominion already has done. So I'm very curious about that. one thing that's piqued my interest as well with Singularity is they've produced all these different boxes. But one was fascinating, and it was a box that will allow you to play co-op. So essentially, there is multiple decks, which are like boss decks, and you can work together. And I'm thinking, that's fascinating. How have they took a two-player deck-building game and created a boss element to it? I'm just really fascinated. I want to see, how does this game compare it to Dominion, Star Wars Unlimited, deck-building game? It's always something that's always intrigued me. I definitely want to give the Star Wars one to go, to be sure, because I'm hearing a lot of traction about them at the moment.
Yeah, I really hope on the Singularity game that I think the key is viability for every card. You don't want it where there's like some super OP card and that's like everything that you're going to build your deck around. Because I think like some of like the ones that are played online, if something's leaning in the meta towards a certain card, they can easily just fix it. Where because it's physical, it's hard to adjust once the games came out. So I guess it all comes down to the playtesting.
Definitely. I think that's the TCG thing, isn't it? That you have one card that you build your whole deck around. Like exactly what you just said. As hopefully, like Jake was saying, Singularity might have a bit more. I think in my mind, I'm seeing it more a bit like Netrunner, where you've got this set play that you've got to do in. Different cards are going to allow you to do different things. Yeah, I can't wait to give it a go. It's going to be good.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thanks very much. Thanks, Jake. That was good.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to pick one of our first guest hosts. So what I'm going to do, I'll read them both out. And then at the end, what I'll do is I'll ask you which one you think, which out of the four games that I've got from our guests, you like the idea of. So I'll start with Luke. Luke sent me a couple of suggestions that he sent. So one was a game called Andromeda's Edge.
Oh,
have you heard of this?
Yes, yeah, I have. I have seen that game on GameFound.
I nearly put it on my list.
Oh, man. I can't wait for Andromeda's Edge. I have seen it. I didn't get to back it,
good.
But it looks sick.
Good, good, good. So just to kind of recap it for our audience, Andromeda's Edge is a space-themed new civilization sort of game. You'll have a space station, you'll have ships that go out to get resources, and it's a big, just to kind of give you an idea of what it might look like, it's a big portrait board. At the bottom, there's a hex grid where I guess you're traveling your ships out. There's lots of little miniatures, which is pretty cool. We've talked about that in the past. And then there's just loads of gubbins all at the top where there's just lots of things to look at. Just a couple of references. Before You Play, do an overview of it. So if you want to go and check it out, have a look at Before You Play's video on it. That was really good. And one of our top, we shouldn't have favorites in the board game world, but Tim Chuan does some really cool videos. And he's done they did another game called Dwellings of Eldervale, was it?
Yeah.
And he does a comparison of the two, which is really cool. But because he's such a good photographer, the shots of the two next to each other look really cool. So it's worth having a look at that. The artwork looks absolutely fantastic. I'm sure we've all seen it.
Yeah.
So that was Luke's number one.
Got a comment on that. I'm telling you, before you move on to number two, I have to talk about, because it looks sick. I don't think I've seen a game come close to giving Twilight Imperium a run for its money on size of table taken up. but I did see a shot of that four-player being play-tested. And boy, oh boy, does it take table space. So I am very much looking forward to seeing that, especially because I'm a sucker for a game that takes up a whole table.
Yeah, it does look. I didn't even reference the player boards as well. That looked really nice and nice big chunky board in front of you. So that's always exciting as well.
I think it is based on, from what I've read so far, it's very similar to Dwellings of Alverdale. It's basically that, but in space.
I've heard.
Not exactly, but more fantasy, very similar. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah,
it's like warriors and mages and monsters, as this is more a space version of it.
Yeah, I'm very excited though. It looks good.
There was, Tim Chuan, he does a really good comparison of like some of the differences. So apparently the combat die system works slightly differently, but he actually says he prefers it in this Andromeda's Edge because it allows for, you can manipulate dice, I think, with a certain card in Dwellings of Eldervale. You have to have a certain card to, If you don't roll the right dice, but in this, because of something like range and targeting or something like that, you can manipulate the dice a little bit. So it's got this quite cool combat mechanic. I can't wait to see more on it, but it sounds really cool.
I'm going to check that out then.
Number two. So Luke's gone from space to cheese making in France with fromage. It looks really good. It's if you know Matthew O'Malley, who does Search for Planet X and Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig, this is his latest. So it's cheese making in France. Looks really, really, the artwork's really, really pretty on it. Really cute. It's a worker placement, but I can't really call it a worker. You're actually just putting wedges of cheese on the board. I've got like an area majority sort of thing. Cheese on it placement. As well. Looks really, really good.
Do you know what? Sometimes it's the themes that are the, what you would normally think are the beigest that end up being the best games. Because they're not hiding behind anything. Like, hey, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm a sucker for these big sci-fi, awesome artwork games. Absolutely. But sometimes, and I'm sure our viewers might agree with us on this, sometimes a poorly executed game hides behind a theme. But when you've got a game about making cheese, it has nothing to hide behind. So usually the game is absolutely banging and it is completely watertight. And that is a point where sometimes these games, you're like, why did this game get so much hype? Because it's usually pretty darn good. And I am looking forward to making cheese in France.
Yeah, definitely. It just sounds like one of those funny themes that just will work as a board game. Do you know what I mean? Some of these like really odd concepts actually end up being, I guess, like viticulture. It's not a weird concept, but like making wine, but it's actually quite a lot of everyone's favorite worker placement game. Even though it's a simple concept, and I'm wondering if fromage might have the same. Like you say, it's not hiding behind a really intense theme like Andromeda's Edge. It's cheese making France, but yeah, it'll end up being really good.
I think you've just read my mind because I was just about to reference viticulture. I don't know why. Like, I think it lends itself quite well to that. I don't know what the age processing is like for. Yeah, maybe it is just the perfect match. You know what? We need like a game night where it's you start off with fromage, you go on to there needs to be like a cracker making board game, and then over to viticulture to finish.
a beer and bread two player.
Yeah, exactly. But then you just go on to something like Taverns of Devonthal at the end.
Yeah, definitely. That's when you've had too much winemaking. What will be funny is you'll invite your friends round and say, oh, do you want a cheese and wine evening? And when they get round, you're playing fromage and viticulture. You've got like cheese and wine.
That's the best kind of cheese and wine evening.
That'd be good. Yeah.
You know, we could have a podcast just about food related board games.
You could board as well, to be honest. More are coming to my mind.
Yeah, let's leave that to the comments. So if you feel like you want a food related podcast in the future, write a comment on YouTube or on our Instagram and we'll make it happen. We should do the whole get 1,000 likes, but we'll see.
Let's do it. If this video gets 200 likes, then Tim will eat a whole block of cheese on the food podcast.
I don't know why I did not expect you to end with that line. But yeah, if we get one comment, we'll do the podcast.
The funny thing is, Jake, that's not even a challenge. I'll just do that now if you want. I'm only joking. Yeah, we'll see. If everyone wants food and wine, we'll do a podcast.
You know, not food I'm and totally wine, up for it.
And, I guess alcohol.
If this video gets one like, yeah. I'll have a glass of wine.
Right, nobody liked the video.
I'm going to go and like it myself.
Please do. So, two really good games from Luke. Thank you very much, Luke, for sending those in and being able to share that to the wider community. if you're interested. I will say that these are maybe not lighter games, so just be prepared that you will, especially in Andromeda's Edge, that's quite a heavy game, I guess. Fromage, probably a little bit lighter, but I'd say being a Euro game, it still requires a little bit of learning, so just be prepared for that as well. So, moving on to Matt, what have you got for us?
Cool. I've got two. Are we going like round robin, or should I just
go? Nah, just go for it. Just go for those.
Okay. So I've got two games. I'll start off with the first one. It's an adaption of a video game that I've played in the past. It's been quite a while since it's been released, and it's Dead Cells. It's a roguelike game. So if you don't know what that means, it means that every time, say, you fail a mission, you just start from the beginning all over again. So there's no checkpoints in the game. So it's a complete, but what you will get is each time that you fail, you get a slight upgrade. So it's not like a completely wasted effort, but it's pretty much like guaranteed that you want to fail to improve your character each time. And the way it is, it's a bit of a dungeon crawler. I don't know too much about the game, but I think I've completed the video game years ago. And it's a dungeon crawler, but I'm really interested because it says you can play it in 45 minutes, and it's got that same concept that you want to keep on going over and over again, improve your character, and it's pretty much guaranteed that you're going to fail along the way. So yeah, that's my pick for the first game that I'm looking forward to this year. I think it's got a Kickstarter, and I'm also intrigued because I feel like the video game adaptions to board games never really do that well, but I'm holding out on this one. Yeah, so that's my first pick. Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. And the second one, I don't know how Jake's going to feel about this one. It's called World Order, and it's a follow-up to Hegemony. And it's based in 2010. So instead of being in the class system, you're like all world leaders trying to sort out the world in this like similar way to,
yeah, okay.
I think it's exactly the same guys that made Hegemony, and you're the ruler of each country. And you've got like set all the social classes and everything in regards to the world. I think like China, Russia, cool. Britain, So it's like quite a big concept that I haven't seen before, and that's what drew me in. If you like Hegemony, I think you're going to really like this one.
Cool. Is it going to be as big as Hegemony?
Yeah, I think this is a beefy game, so not like for any like real newcomers. I think Dead Cells is a bit lighter, so it's more like, I don't know if you played Clank before.
Yeah.
It kind of gave me them vibes, so maybe that's something more for the lighter gamer. Cool. Hegemony is definitely going to be a beefy one.
Yeah, sounds cool. I played Hegemony. I felt like it's one of those games you have to play a few times to get your head around it. Because the first time I played it, I was a bit like, it was good. I liked it, but it was just, I was kind of a little bit like, I didn't really know what I was doing. And then I realized I'd suck as a politician because I have no idea what I'm doing. The funny thing is we did a thing where our initials, whatever our initials were closest to, so I was T, so I was working class, so I was basically the poor people, just like moaning all the time and doing like strikes and whatnot. And it was a really funny game, to be fair. Sounds like me now, to be fair, but wasn't actually playing a game really, I was just being myself. But yeah, it was good, it was all right. I thought it was an okay game, so I'll look forward to playing it. If you do get it.
Nice. Yeah. I think I am. The only thing I see with this is like you've got to get people that are really invested in the hobby, because isn't something you're bringing out after you roast dinner on a Sunday with your family.
This isn't something you bring out after fromage and viticulture.
We did hegemony. No. No. Cheese and wine and then politics. It was our hegemony was our first game of the day when we played it. It was we started at like sort of like 10-ish and we didn't finish till like 2 or 3 or something. There was a few drinks breaks in between and whatnot, but yeah, there was a couple of mechanics I didn't like in it. Like there was this voting thing where you hold cubes and that votes or influences a vote. And then, as I say, as the working class, I just felt like I couldn't vote enough. As Aaron was playing the capitalists and he was just seemed to have all these cubes. So, yeah, it was a bit of I think it's one of those you just need to play a few times to kind of really get your head around and know a good strategy on what you can do. But I did like the asymmetricness. It was like I wasn't trying to play the game like Aaron because I had a completely different way of getting my points. I did like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, well, if I think about this right, like in terms of actual like working class capitalists, I guess it's the social aspects of how you manage both sides. There must be like pros and cons in terms of the actual, I'm not talking about real life here, but in terms of the actual game. And I'm guessing this is hopefully going to translate to the world order as well. Like, yeah, I'll be interested to see how it plays. It feels quite like chess on a board game. Like, it's very strategic.
Oh, that sounds cool. I look forward to it. Nice. Yeah, it sounds really good. And the other one, what's the actual mechanics in the other game, in the Dead Cells one?
Oh, it's a dungeon crawler.
Oh, it is a dungeon crawler. Oh, like, similar to...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
I think it's like risk and reward kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
I'm waiting. Yeah, I don't know too much about it. I was trying to look for a video earlier, but there's nothing on the Kickstarter so far. So I think it's going to be wait and see on that one. But the art design and everything looks, yeah, really cool.
Oh, that's really cool. I do. I agreed with your comment earlier. I do think that they're trying to translate a lot of these games to board games, and I think sometimes it works quite well. I do. I've played Northgard, which is a Viking-based game that's, I think it's on Steam. You can get it on PC.
Okay.
Quite a good little game to be. Well, I say a little game. It's actually a 4X. So I guess it's got a fairly biggish game. But it's not too heavy. But yeah, it works really well. I thought it actually worked as a board game quite well. But a lot of board games I've played that are translations from video games just... they're okay. I don't get massively enthusiastic about them, but hopefully I'm all up for trying them though.
Yeah. They've released, well, they haven't released, they're going to release this year, Apex Legends, the board game.
So seen it.
I have no idea how that's going to translate across.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'd like to have a go for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're all up for giving it a go.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Sounds really, really good. Really like it. So I've only got one myself. I'll just briefly mention it and then I'll mention Sam's too, which I think are really cool as well. I'm looking forward to a game called ARCS. So ARCS, not as in Noah's Ark or something like that. So ARCS, and it's actually, Cole Whirl, who does Root. He is making a space opera version. Asymmetric space races, and he's my favorite game designer in terms of Root. I really love the asymmetricness and the way it kind of everyone plays such a different game, but it all kind of works together. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm hoping that it'll be at one of the expos this year, and I'll get to play test it or something. But or get a even a sneak peek at it, but yeah, I'll be buying that definitely, like, as soon as I can. That'll be in my collection, right next to Root. then I'll root and then arc.
Yeah, when I was looking up about like the games coming out, that was one of the first ones I've seen as well. I think is the asymmetry the same in terms of like root and stuff?
I think if I'm right, yeah, I think it's going to be the same as in it. There's different factions; they'll do different things.
Okay.
To the level of root, I don't know, because I think root is like playing four little mini games within a big game. Like you're all playing such a different type of game, aren't you? Whether it's going to be that or it'll be more simplified, I don't know. Because I mean, yeah, asymmetric could just mean you have a unique power. But it could mean something better than that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I was just thinking, like, I mentioned it in one of our earlier podcasts. It's my dream if they was to do a root cross TI. but I guess with this, that'll be the closest we'll get to it, maybe.
Maybe.
I would love a root-themed Twilight Imperium. But I guess if he's working on this project, then maybe that's on a back burner. But who knows? If I could speak to him and ask one thing, I want a root themed TI.
What would be cool is if they do a crossover of the two games. So you'd be cats fighting aliens.
That would be so cool. Man, if you're going to be silly, you might as well do it properly. And I would be well up for that.
Yeah.
Like, and make it like a 9-hour game the same way as well. You know,
aliens invaded Earth, but they didn't realize they invade cats and birds.
If it was like Ark Roots, Prophecy of Cats.
On the cover, it's definitely got that Roots style to it. It seems pretty similar. And not, I really enjoy the art as well.
Yeah, he's used the same designer, I think, as he did on Roots. Yeah. So, Carl Ferrin, I think it is. What a legend. His art style is really cool, isn't it? As a designer, that is like, looking at good art is always a good thing. I'm a big Carl Ferrin fan as well in terms of his art style. That was the first thing I think that sold me on Root was the cool art. And then when I started getting into the game, it was just like, this is such a cool game. The combination of those two really work, so I'm glad they're doing it together again. And space is such a cool theme as well, so what's not to like? Keeping on with space themed games, I'm going to touch on Sam's two games. So Sam sent in two games that he's looking forward to. One of the games he recommended for this year, or one he's looking forward to, is a game that's actually, I've seen it quite a lot on YouTube channels now. I think it's people are starting to kind of showcase it, and that is a game called Galactic Cruise. The artist behind it is Ian O'Toole. I think he's Vital Lacerda's artist. He does all of Vital Lacerda games, like Lisboa on Mars and all them lot. Quite cool art style, quite heavy game again. And the theme is that you're supervisors for a company that sells luxury cruises that in space. So Matt can think about his nice Mediterranean cruise that he's recently been on, but going through space. You've got to kind of build these cruises and satisfy the guests. You've got to help the company like grow and expand their network, bring new tech in, grow the business, like the staff as well. So you're trying to build the business up. And the idea is whoever wins becomes the CEO of this new Galactic Cruise business. So it's quite a cool concept. I quite like the idea of it. Again, I'm quite excited to play it and see what it's like. Again, I will just caveat a heavy game again. So be prepared if you're thinking about, if you like the idea of the concept, just be prepared. You might be reading a heavy rule book for that one.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think this guy done Voidfall as well. For that. And I love the art. And hopefully the rule book translates as well, because the rule book for Voidfall, for such a heavy game, it makes it so easy. I think it's the best rule book I've used in recent years. Nice. So hopefully that carries over.
Yeah, definitely. He's obviously really talented at designing sort of big board games. Being Vitalis Erda. So that's why I'm assuming as well that this is probably going to be, I've looked at some of the images of it and it looks quite chunky. We'll see what it's like. Cool concept. Bit different than just the usual.
Yeah.
The other one is actually a game that I think it looks super interesting. I'm actually really intrigued. Have you heard of Flock Together? No? Okay, so this is the other game he's recommended. I think it's a five player actually. So it's up to five player, I think. You play a chicken. It's a co-op game. You're all chickens. It's an asymmetric, so you all have unique abilities. And the idea is that you play over certain seasons and you've got to flock together against predators, bad weather.
I'm sold. Sort of I want that game. I want it. Give me the game. I want it. And you had me at asymmetric chickens. I was like, bring it. That's what I'm talking about, man. Like, yes, asymmetric chicken game. I'm buying it.
That's exactly what I thought as well. I thought, and there's, you'll be pleased to know, there's 11 characters to choose.
What? Bro, I am buying this game, man.
A couple of things that I really liked about it. The production of it looked really, really nice. It's multiplied board, so everything fits in nicely. But each character has like a wire-bound book that has all your characters' details in it, your powers and that. And that book actually sits in your player board as well. It's got a little slot for your book to go in and you can just turn the pages. Looks really clean and cool. The nice thing is it feels, because in the game, when you fight predators, they drop loot and that sort of thing. So it's a real adventure-type game as well. I think that would be pretty cool. And one thing, Jake, you would probably like is it's Andrew Bosley is the designer behind it, who did Everdell, Mission Red Planet, Tapestry. So the artwork is really nice. Again, Everdell is a lovely artworked piece. So, they've used him. I think the artwork looks fantastic. The typography on the front of the box looks really cool. Everything about it looks really sweet. I'm really looking forward to playing it. So, thanks, Sam. I appreciate you sending those in. It's helped me to find some cool games to play. Again, thanks to Luke as well. So just to recap, we had Galactic Cruise, Flock Together, Fromage, and Andromeda's Edge. So I'm going to ask you, which one do you think you're looking forward to the most out of those?
Well, initially, I was going to say Andromeda's Edge, but now I want to be an asymmetric chicken.
So, yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Flock Together all the way, man.
I think I'll go with Andromeda's Edge. Yeah, that was pretty much... You know what? The only reason I didn't have that was I genuinely thought someone's going to have that as well. So I wanted to pick something different.
The main... when Luke sent it, he said, I'll give you Fromage as well because it might be too mainstream. And I was thinking, yeah, maybe, but we'll go with it anyway. But I would agree. I was torn because I do really like the look of that Flock Together. That's definitely on my list, right at the top of my list. But Andromeda's Edge just beats it for that really cool board game. When I watched the video of it, I just was sold.
I will say, this is where I'm going to get the hate comments now. But qualifying it, man, like... I'm qualifying it. I love these big sci-fi games. I can't wait to play Andromeda's Edge. But, controversial question, if you're listening, put it in the comments. Are there too many sci-fi board games? Just going to put that out there. I mean, we got Twilight Imperium, Gaia Project, Terraforming Mars, On Mars. I mean... That's just off the top of my head, right? We could keep on going if we wanted to. Race for the Galaxy. Roll for the Galaxy. Andromeda's Edge. how many more, you know, and there's more and more. So
I actually have a whole cube in my Kallax dedicated to space themed games.
Exactly. And I do love space themed games, but sometimes I feel it kind of dilutes the excitement a little bit because I don't have a whole section in my Kallax unit towards cheese making or being a chicken. Just putting it out there, man.
Do you think that is because sci-fi is so big, though? Like, because there's quite an easy crossover there.
I would.
Between sci-fi and space.
I would, so. But again, they're always about colonizing, which is fine. But, like, look at TV, right? Every sci-fi show isn't the same. Like, you think the different ways you can explore it, but almost all sci-fi games are to do with terraforming. Sky Mines, another one, is just to do with terraforming. And I like it. I'm all for it, man. I love these sci-fi games that are to do with terraforming. But I would like to see them explore it in a different way. You know, not every sci-fi TV show is the same, you know. So to that end, that's probably why I didn't pick Andromeda's Edge.
Yeah, I totally agree with you in the fact that they all follow the same theme, like, you know, controlling ships, sending ships out, all of those sort of things. And I agree. I think it's just whether they change it just enough to make it really different. And, like, I guess the mechanics are going to be a different thing. The thing about Andromeda's Edge, I think they've got, like I say, really good combat. The way they've, like, probably scaled that is and scoped that out is going to be better than just your traditional. Who knows? I guess we've just got to play it and see. But I think you're right in to an extent. We've had this conversation. I actually want to address this a little bit because I've seen the whole comment on, you know, Euros being the same game. I think we've referenced that before. What can we do to just change the game slightly and make it a little bit different, make it like a unique experience each time? And I feel like Andromeda's Edge might do that.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think one of the podcasts I listen to, Board Game Barrage, they've got this saying and they call it a Jace, and it's just another soulless Euro.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely in the Kickstarter realm, that has been a tendency to just overproduce them type of games.
Yeah. I think the other game, The Dwellings of Eldritch, I think that's done all right, to be fair. I think everyone really enjoyed that. So I'm hoping that bringing it to space might work really well.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I agree. We're not to say Galactic Cruise and Fromage aren't going to be good games, but I guess something's got to hit the top spot, and it's, I guess, between chickens and shooting each other in space again.
If it was chickens shooting each other in space, man, what a game.
You'll be all behind it. Cool. I appreciate all the good games. I think I'm going to check some of those out myself. I was looking forward to what your comments were going to be as well. And I'm hoping the audience will get a good few games to be excited about this year. I'm sure more games have been sort of, you know, produced and getting excited for, and a lot of people are getting excited for all different types of games. Please feel free to comment on YouTube or Instagram. Tell us what you think. What games are you all excited for? We'll check them out as well. And maybe we'll do a video on it. We'll definitely do one on the food and drink one though. So you're talking about, just to finish this, I wanted to talk about get things that we'd like to see more in games. So we've you know, I guess we just talked about, you know, there's a lot of games that are similar. What do we want to see? Like, is there any mechanics, any IPs that we want to try and get more of in games? What, have you got any comments on that?
Yeah, I do. I've given a lot of thought to this. quite interesting off the back of everything I've just said as well. So I held back earlier when you guys were talking about video game IPs and talking about sci-fi doing something differently. There is a video game on Steam called Ark Survival Evolved. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but this is what I'm I'm talking about, man. That's a banging game. They've done something fresh, right? Like, you're a human, you're dumped on an island, there's like dinosaurs of all eras, you know, but you can tame them, you can like create your own survival, you know, you need to like build your own place and explore these weird like caves and this weird alien technology that's on the island. I'm like, come on, man, it's aliens and dinosaurs and like Robinson Crusoe survival in a game. I'm like, what's not to like? This is awesome. But I looked up and there isn't a board game of it. And I'm like, man, that would be sick. Like, already, I'm imagining, could they not like take that IP, make a game that's like one massive map, and the map is the map of the island because they've already designed it. And like, maybe you can move your pieces. Maybe there could be miniatures of different dinosaurs if you get them along the way. And you score points by building. Maybe it could be area control. I don't know. But it's an IP of a game that does sci-fi in a very unique way. I haven't seen it done. There's dinosaur games, but there isn't dinosaur survival with mecha dinosaurs with aliens in a game yet. That is a theme I would really like to see. I'm not going to lie.
I like it. I think... maybe I'm thinking too far ahead here, but I feel like you could kind of adapt Maracaibo to this thing.
Okay.
Potentially. Yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to picture in my head, as Jake was saying, then what games I could kind of lean towards it.
Yeah, rather than ships going around to different islands, it could be the island and you go around or something, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to stop at the next stop. You can choose how many steps you could go or something.
I'm just loving this idea of a game that you can just be a sucker for miniatures, man. You can just like tons of dinosaur miniatures, you know. I just imagine like you're getting like a TI sized game. It's one massive map. You know, you can roll it out. It's a map, and you just put little dinosaurs on hexes or something. Like, how sick would that be, man? It kind of brings back the inner child of playing with dinosaurs figurines, but instead,
that's all you need to do, Jack.
That's it. Yeah. But in a board game, man, like, because Ark just does it. Like, I can't believe Ark is a massive game. I cannot believe that they haven't made a board game of it yet. So, you know, if anyone in the comments agrees, put it in there.
Just to say that Northgard that I was talking about earlier, it's a Viking-based game. It's a 4X, so you're exploring tiles, expanding, all of that sort of stuff, fighting, whatever. But one of the mechanics in it is when you all pass for the round and you can't do any more moves and you go on to the next round, you have an end of season or something, or winter phase or something, and what you have to do is pay like what they call like food taxes, but it's basically the food that you've stored up in that round gets eaten basically because you've stored it all up for winter, and then the next round you have to do it all again. So you could even implement a system like that where you're around the island, you're trying to gather resources so that at the end of the round you can pay that food that you need to. And maybe not seasons, but you could do it in like, it could be a day, like each round is a day. You play over like a week or something. So you've got 7 rounds. And then each day you have to pay so much food because you need to accumulate it too. I guess it's Feast for Odin like that a little bit. You have to collect banquet sort of thing.
I think it's good when they get these kind of, if they manage to get these video game IPs into a board game, you don't know how many people that are video gamers might then get into the board gaming hobby. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I'd much prefer a video game IP than just like a movie IP, you know. Like I'd take a good video game IP than over a Marvel game.
Well, it's already got a game mechanic though, hasn't it? I think. So it's just replicating that.
I just had a quick look because as you said this, I was like, I can't believe no one has done a Monster Hunter world.
There is one. There is one coming up, man.
And yeah.
Mate, yeah. I'm going to be on that, man. I'm going to be on that.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that Monster Hunter board game, man.
So, Matt, have you got anything you're looking forward to? Or you want more in games?
I've got quite a few. Yeah, you know what? As I was prepping this, I was like, "Oh, you know what? I wouldn't mind this." And then next thing you know, I've got five on my list. As I was thinking about it, like just more kept on coming to me in terms of different IPs and different mechanics and stuff. So the first one I'll mention is I really love the aesthetic for Blade Runner.
Okay.
And I don't think I've ever seen a game adapted. Like LA, dystopian world. You've got like kind of like the Star Wars Rebellion Republic thing going on as well. I thought, you know what, that could translate really well into a board game. And I think it's an underutilized IP.
Do you know what? That would, man. That would be sick. I have problems with Blade Runner. I'm gonna tell you, like
what the film or the whole
like
the,
I've seen both
the world.
No,
building.
No, I've seen both films, and also I've read the book where they were based on, which was "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep" by Philip K. Dick. I think my problem is that the book is a lot like a lot of a trippier dystopia society than the films portray, and I think. Like, depending on which one you were going to go for, I feel like the book could give like a really cool concept. And I think the original Blade Runner, which is so different to the book, it's crazy, man. But we're not doing a book film review, I guess. But I think the original world building is a little bit cooler than the modern Blade Runner, in my own personal opinion. I don't know. I feel like they tried to go all Hollywood on the new one. But... yeah, it depends. Like, I don't.
Oh, you know, I knew there was a book. I haven't read it, so I haven't got that context. But I love the whole world building. That's in both films. Actually, I think they're both incredible. And yeah, I know there's like this. There are like a few dystopian worlds that they've kind of. Even Singularity, as what you were talking about earlier, that's a slightly a bit more cyberpunky, I guess. But yeah, I haven't seen anyone use it.
I think is interesting is you were saying about we want more otherworldly sort of games where it's like, you know, just a completely different concept to what we're used to as huge. Like, you know what I mean? Like, completely change it, like how it.
I mean,
and then maybe put that in a board game is cool. That will be quite
that cool. Is so curious, man, that you guys are bringing this up, because I almost mentioned it earlier, but I thought, nah. There is a game coming out this year that kind of ticks the boxes of what you're saying. I almost backed it until it was like astronomical hundreds to back it, and I'm like, okay, guys, I can't do that. Like, I can't spend that. But there's a game coming out called Stalker, all with bullet points, like S-T-A-L.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it? That's a video game, isn't it?
Here's my problem. It's based on a video game, which the video game was loosely based on a book called Roadside Picnic, which was written by two Russian guys like in the 70s. The book is awesome, and the game went a little bit more, let's just turn it into a shoot 'em up alien game. And I'm a bit like, oh, that sucks, man, because the book concept was so crazy. But it kind of does that dystopian, futuristic, alien kind of world where basically the game is you're playing all these asymmetric characters and you're exploring zones, which are like these alien-affected zones of the planet in this dystopian world. But it's like a dungeon crawler, but like an open-air dungeon crawler. It kind of made me feel like maybe that's kind of what you're describing you'd like to see. And they are kind of doing it, but it's a lot of money.
I feel like I'm getting to know more about your tastes and things in this episode. I did not know that you were so into this sort of stuff. I mean, I honestly thought your comment was actually going to be, can we put a chicken in Cyberpunk? I thought you were going to say something like that.
I'm going to say the Roadside Picnic's my favourite book, man. It's such a cool concept. I actually, when Stalker was on, like, they were still, like, in the preview campaign, I messaged them a couple times to see, because I was really hoping they would base it on Roadside Picnic, not just, like, the video game. Because the Roadside Picnic concept, it's like basically there's these zones of the planet that aliens have visited, and there's characters that are like black market dealers, and they enter these zones to steal like artifacts and then sell them on the black market. I was like, what a cool concept, man. That's so cool. Like, they're sneaking by the like the government gatehouses to like sell these alien artifacts. And then I think they've just turned it into, yeah, there's monsters in the zone and you go and shoot them. And I'm a bit like, guys, it was so cool. Like, so it kind of put me off that I think they turned the board game into the video game rather than like the book version. But
right.
Hey ho.
I'll check it out though. Another bedtime read to look at.
You've gave me a book recommendation there, so I'm interested.
It is a really cool book.
Nice. I'll check that out. No, it's interesting you say that, because, I guess that kind of leans into what we were saying before. Anyway, I don't want to take it all up on my one. I do have... I've actually got a couple more. I'll just say one more.
No, go for it. Like, I want to hear them all now. No, you said.
Okay. So, actually, I'll do two more. So, the other one I was thinking of, which kind of has been a little bit, is Mad Max. So, I love the style and everything. And it kind of reminds me of, not entirely, but I think they could do something similar with, like, Thunder Road Vendetta. And have that whole style going on. And when we played Thunder Road Vendetta, I was like, man, if this had the Mad Max theme, it would be incredible. And also they've got that, I think it's Furiosa's coming out this year as well. I was like, oh, this is like the perfect time. They could link it all together.
I was thinking about that when you said it. We could link it up to the new movie.
As long as they just put on the box, what a lovely day! Because I'm just like, man, it's the best line ever. And I'm just like, put it on the box, man. Yeah, that would be an awesome game.
I thought you were going to give us another book recommendation.
Yeah,
I was accepting it as well.
So, did you know Mad Max was based on this book from the 20s? Nah, I'm joking. Mad Max is just about guys driving down a road, shooting at each other, and then they get to the end of the road, so they turn around and drive back. And I'm like,
it's great.
I like that's what you took away from it.
Literally, I watched Mad Max and I was like, hold on a minute. So they've driven there, decided they don't want to go there, so they're driving back, and then they drove back, and this guy played guitar the whole time. And I was like, well, fair play. I got out of this.
As you were talking about, I was thinking about an asymmetric Mad Max game, but I just want to play the guitarist on the back of the truck just sitting there rocking out.
Honestly, it's that guy that's just playing guitar on the top of the truck. It's ridiculous.
I love that bit. That's the best bit. So you've got Mad Max and Cyberpunk or Dystopian City.
Yeah. Last one. So I'm going on to another book here. I've read a series called, the first book is called Jade City. The book's by Fonda Lee. It's this really cool, like, Godfather-esque style. I think it leans off, like, Asian culture in terms of, like, Japanese. And the book is based on these people who mine this material called jade, and it gives them like superhuman abilities, and there's rival gangs that are battling for the power of this material called jade. And I read the book and I was like, man, this is amazing. And I'd never seen like that type of conflict, but in like more of a fantasy sci-fi setting. And I thought, you know what, this would come across great if you could play as like each family in terms of like, as you said, like a bit of an asymmetric game, each family, and you're all battling for this possession of the jade. And I thought, oh man, this would, yeah, this could be like a super heavy game, really strategic.
Nice.
And yeah, I've already started planning it in my head what it would kind of look like. Yeah.
New job for you. Get published on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Big game designer.
Yeah. Maybe, I'll try and sell it to the IP itself. Yeah.
That sounds
good. This is my pitch.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds quite good.
Do we need another June game? I don't know.
You know what? I think we just need to get Jamie Stegmaier on the case, innit? Because after the work he put into Red Rising, you know, he can make anything happen.
There you go. That's it. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
Cool. I really like it.
They're all the IPs.
Huh? Nice one. My only IP that I thought of was, and I'm pretty sure people will disagree with me in the comments, and fair enough, like, if people like it, but I don't think there's a really, really good Star Wars game. I think there's some good ones, like, okay to good, but I don't think there's, like, a game that I really... And Star Wars is, like, I'm just a massive Star Wars nerd, like, I love it. Not as much nerdy as some people. I appreciate some people are like encyclopedias for Star Wars, but I just love the whole Star Wars universe. And I was thinking, I wish there was a game that I could just loved playing that was Star Wars themed and it had the characters or something. And then funny enough, I remember as you were talking about hegemony, we were like, imagine if we made a Star Wars hegemony where one of you's the Empire or the Separatists and the Republic, and then you've got the Jedi Council that are doing their own little thing in another, you know, asymmetric-y sort of side thing. And we were like, we were talking about it when we were playing it, like, you could turn this into Star Wars and it would be a great little game, like a political Star Wars game, which was good. But I think we played Unlimited and I thought that was quite a good game. I quite enjoyed it. I think that's one of those where, again, we mentioned it before. I think you can completely rip that game apart because it will all be based around. We played it yesterday and I just had this OP move come out where I got Luke out and Obi-Wan is like a bodyguard. So Matt couldn't actually attack me at all until he killed Obi-Wan. But every round I could get Luke to just shield him. So every time Matt attacked him, it would attack the shield, not Obi. So it didn't matter what Matt did. He's got like Darth Vader out. He's like really powerful. You just can't do anything to me because I've got a shield on and I just kept putting it on. And it just was an OP move. There's nothing you could do about it. And I just thought, yeah, you can kind of wreck those games a little bit by just having this one little meta that works. I'm pretty sure you can create decks that combat that a little bit more. But yeah, I would like to see more stuff like a really, like you're saying about, you know, get loads of boards on the table and pieces, make it like really big and really, really crazy. I'm waiting for that.
I mean, I haven't played it yet, but would you say Star Wars Rebellion wouldn't fit that?
Again, it's a good game.
Really?
I don't get super excited. I think that's a game that you can break quite easily and kind of I heard a game the other day where somebody hid the guys right where they started. So the other guy went all the way over the other side of the board to try and find him and then had to go all the way back. And by the time he'd done it, he'd lost the game. it was just one of those.
I've got to say though, Matt, and if you haven't played Rebellion, I would say I've played it probably about 3 or 4 times now, and it's a long game. Like, it is brutal, man. Like, you're looking 3 hours at least to play that game. And it just, a perfect example of a game that hides behind an IP. On the one hand, the cat and mouse thing, awesome, really clever, like it. But the cards, way too much writing, way overcomplicated, really doesn't work how you want it to. Combat doesn't work how you want it to. And I feel like this game just doesn't do what it should do. Like, it was so good and then it didn't. So I actually don't think that game is nearly as good as it's hyped up to be, and I wouldn't play it again, to be honest with you, unless I was like showing you the game, just because I just feel like unfortunately the game is a bit of a letdown. So I feel like unless they need this... they should redo it, redesign it.
Is this Jake's Marvel United comment for this week?
This is Jake's Marvel United. I actually realised it's not a good game.
This is where we were going to get cancelled.
Yeah, if we were backed by a network, we'd just get cancelled. I would just say, so Imperial Assault, I'm not really massively into those mission-based dungeon crawling type game type things. It was okay. Star Wars The Clone Wars, I just preferred Pandemic as a game. I thought Clone Wars was okay. The miniatures were cool, but that was about it. I'd say the deck building game's okay. I quite like that. Unlimited's quite good. But yeah, I'm waiting for a really good meaty Star Wars game that feels like, you know, I'm immersed in the Star Wars universe. Some of the video games in the past have been absolutely brilliant, and I'm waiting for the board game version of that. So that's just my view on IP. My other thing that I would really like to look forward, or what I would really want to see, sorry, in games, so something I would like a mechanic that I really want to see in games going forward, is I don't think there's enough bag pulling games. And I did an article when we did our first Board Game of World blog type thing. And what I mean is, I don't mean like Azul and Cascadia where there's a bag in it that you pull tiles out of or anything like that. I mean like Quax or Orleon, where you've got your own bag. Whether it's like Quax and it's push your luck, or whether it's like Orleon where you're just hoping you're going to pull the right pieces and it's got that real sort of excitement around, I don't know, just some, like when you've got no idea what you're going to pull out, and you just, I guess it's the same as any pool building, like deck building, but there was just something really cool about something like Quax, where it's this really cool push your luck version of it, where you've got a bag and you've got chips in there and you're just hoping. I just want to see more of that. I think that would be really cool. So that was an IP. A mechanic. I don't know what I would put this down to, but the third thing I really look forward to, I want to see more strategic small box games as well. We talk about heavy boxes that take the table up, but also equally I'd like to see some, a bit like the White Castle, we played that, and it's just this really small, quick to get to the table, but it's so strategic in the game. And it's got this cool combo building, so you've got 9 turns, but it's called combo builder. I want to see more of that, where you can get a game to the table, it takes like 5 minutes to set up, but actually you get really immersed in this game where it's really exciting and lots to do and whatnot. I'd like to see more of that.
You know,
chickens?
You've given me a thought. No, not chickens. Not chickens, but this comment's not going to... Your initial reaction, it's not what I mean. have you played Jaws?
No, I know what the game is, yeah.
I've played it a couple times. It's quite an interesting hidden movement game of 1v3, right? But you can kind of tell they've kind of tried to lean it towards the mainstream audience a little bit. It's not bad. It uses some board game mechanics, but it's mostly, we probably wouldn't play it amongst ourselves, but I would play it with people that are non-gamers. But there was a few little aspects that were really interesting. Like, one thing that I think is really clever, maybe if they did like a Moby Dick board game or something, was something that was really interesting.
Sounds good already.
You know what I mean? So something that was quite interesting is you flip the board to do two parts of the game because they try and do the whole movie in a game. Okay, fair enough. But the other side of the board is the final battle against Jaws on the boat, right? And the person who's Jaws, and the board is a picture of the boat, but it's gridded up. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you don't know next turn in which spot the person who's playing Jaws is going to pop up and they're going to try and eat the boat. And their goal is to eat the boat, right? And your goal is to try and make sure the boat doesn't get damaged, right? And it's kind of this really interesting tug of war about maintaining a piece like of land. But I kind of like that concept. Like, if they could do it a little bit more with a bit more strategy, I love the idea of like fighting to keep something alive. Like, I love that idea of putting out fires in pandemic. I wonder if like maybe they could make some sort of small strategy game where you're just trying to fight fires, you know, whether it's Moby Dick and he's trying to destroy the boat and they basically do what Jaws did but do it a little bit heavier. You know, it doesn't have to be a massive game, but just to get that thrill of putting fires out, you know. That's the best bit of the game of Jaws, when you're trying to put out the fires whilst someone's trying to destroy the boat, you know.
Yeah, you want that. You want to invoke that sort of suspense feeling, don't you? You want to be immersed in the board game, and I think that's definitely those sort of things. If this gets 1,000 likes, I'll eat a boat myself. there's a goal for everyone.
Oh, my life.
I'll be Jaws in real life, and I'll go and eat a boat. You can tell Monty Python is like my inspiration in life when it comes to comedy. I totally get that. I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, as you were saying that, I was thinking about mind management being like this really heavy hidden movement game, but it's big. I've actually had people say that they don't want to play mind management because it looks too big. Not let alone, and it's not, it's just funny because the box is just big and they just get a little bit kind of overwhelmed by it. So yeah, something smaller would be pretty cool. Yeah, I like these really historical games as well, you know, like whether it's based on history. And I literally, as you're saying about like fighting fires, I was thinking about like, you know, if you could base it on like a massive, you know, I think there's a game about the big Great Fire of London or something like that. You could base it on that and it'd be a smaller box or something. Or like the, you know, the fires that happened in Australia or something like that. You base it on a historic thing that happened. I think that could be quite cool. But yeah, having that in a smaller box, eat quicker to get to the table, easier to start. I'm thinking like a Hansa Teutonica type setup where you just, and then it goes nutty really quickly. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think there's a game that came out last year called Three Ring Circus, and that like small box, but there's quite a lot going on. So it kind of reminded me of that. Yeah.
Mm. Cool. Well, there is a lot to look forward to this year, and a lot that we think should be out this year, but it'll be good to get everyone else's comments if they agree with us. If you don't agree with us, where you think we're just idiots that just are rambling on, we want to know. But also feel free to comment what your thoughts are on it, what you would like to see, games you'd like to see, mechanics you would like to see going forward, IPs you would like to see going forward. We want to hear about it. So please feel free to comment on YouTube, Instagram, wherever you find us. We'll look forward to hearing from you. But yeah, I think
thank you, Tim.
No, it's pretty good.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
It was cool. And what are we doing next week? What's our next episode? I think it's Matt's.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about the master and the teach of teaching other people board games.
Nice. And you've already referenced Voidfall's rulebook, so I guess that's going to come out.
Yeah, that'll come out. What not to do, what to do, bad experiences we've had, good experiences. Yeah. We might keep it anonymous, though. We don't want to ruin friendships on this episode.
Yeah. Sounds good. I look forward to it. So, yeah, stay tuned. We will be on YouTube and Spotify. Obviously, we clip everything up on Instagram, so be sure to see those clips as well. And keep gaming. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you next time.
See you all soon.
So this week's game of the week is a game that me and Matt played online, of course, on BGA. We played The Veil of Eternity. We referenced a few card games throughout this episode, and it really made me think about that. It's a really good, easy to learn, easy accessible game where they call it summoning monsters, isn't it? Taming them and summoning them. But you basically, it's like a Pokemon, basically, but it's not Pokemon. You're getting these monsters, you're playing them on the board, and you're trying to combo points, I guess, and combo little actions as well to try and get more cards on as well. But it's got this clever little, what would you call it? Like an auctioning type thing, isn't it? But it's in a snake draft. So whoever's first player picks first and last, and the player, it kind of goes round and then goes back. So the last player will pick two at the same time. And you're trying to get cards that are going to give you resources to play the cards. So that's one thing you're looking for. But you're also looking for cards that you can combo into other cards as well. But then you can also sell cards. So you've only got so many slots that you can put monsters into. So sometimes you're blocking yourself. So you might have to sell a monster out to put a new one in. We actually played it back to back. We played a game. After the first game, thought, right, we've got it. Should we just have another go? And we played again. It's quite quick. It was about 20 minutes, half an hour. But a really cool little game. I don't think it's too expensive as well. I think you can get it for around the £30 mark in the UK. So, yeah, really, really good. Be sure to check it out.